Father, thank you for your Sabbath, for this time of coming together, for time of gathering, of hearing. Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit, please come lead us, guide us, direct us, teach us. Open your words that we may hear, that we may obey, that we may be changed from glory unto glory, that we could be that light set on the hill, that we may have wisdom for these days ahead. Truly, that we may see thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. We are in Deuteronomy 29. We left off in verse 10. All of you are standing today before Yah, your Elohim, your leaders, your tribes, your elders, your officers, all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, your sojourner, who is in the midst of your camp, from the one who cuts your wood to the one who draws your water, so that you should enter into covenant with Yah, your Elohim, and into his oath, which Yah, your Elohim, makes you with you today, in order to establish you today as a people for himself, and he himself be your Elohim, as he has spoken to you, and as he has sworn to your fathers, to Abraham, to Yitzhak, and to Yaakov. And not with you alone I am making this covenant and this oath, but with him who stands here with us today before Yah, your Elohim, as well as with him who is not here today with us today. Let me ask you a question. Were y'all standing there when this was read? Were you not standing there when this was read? Then we're included. He made sure in the beginning he covered just about everybody he could think of. The people, the tribes, the leaders, the wives, the children, the sojourner, the ones who cut the wood, the ones who kept the house, everybody. And then went ahead and said this is because of what he had sworn to the fathers, and then for those who were there and to those who weren't there. That he would be our Elohim. Now, do we believe he is our God today? Well, then if that was the covenant he was making back then, why would that not be a covenant for us today? If we believe that covenant was done away with, what good is the covenant you have with him today if he could do away with one already? With the people he was going to be their Elohim. And if the covenant has not been done away with, maybe we don't want to pay attention to it. I mean, is that hard to understand? If he broke one covenant, why would we believe the next? If he didn't break one, why would we want it to be of none effect? And if the covenant was for the purpose of him to be our Elohim and us to be his people, isn't that supposedly the whole reason Messiah came? A fulfillment of that covenant so that what we could not do because we were weak through the Torah itself didn't have the ability to keep us. He purchased us. He redeemed us. Why would we not want to benefit from that. Not just benefit, why would we not want to obey that? Why would we not want to honor that? Well, let's keep reading, and he has something to say about those who think that way. For you know how we dwelt in the land of Mitzrayim, how we passed through the nations which you passed through. You saw their abominations and their idols, woods and stones, silver and gold, which were with them, lest there should be among you a man or a woman or a clan or a tribe whose heart turns away today from Yah our Elohim to go and serve the mighty ones of these nations, lest there should be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood. And it shall be when he hears the words of this curse that he should bless himself in his heart, saying, I have peace, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart, in order to add drunkenness to thirst. Now, is that not the crux of the gospel that is taught today? I have peace even though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart. I've been redeemed even though I'm a sinner. I'm saved by grace. Doesn't matter what I do. I can live like hell and go to heaven anyway. That's the gospel. The good news is being preached in a lot of places. It's the truth that's written right here. Many say, I have peace, though I walk in the stubbornness of my own heart. Written right in Scripture, and we read it and still believe the lie. We go, how could we believe the delusion? But look at the delusion people are buying today. With all of the evidence set before us, we still have a, if not a majority, a very close battle of those who are still listening to what's being said. You go to town, you still see people. You turn on the news every day and you hear it. You turn on the news and you hear doctors who supposedly have been educated, supposedly understand medicine, supposedly understand immunology, supposedly understand medicine. And we wonder if the church can be deluded when the whole world is walking in delusion. Does Scripture not say watch, because if possible, the very elect would be deceived? Verse 19 again, it shall be when he hears the words of this curse that he should bless himself in his heart, saying, I have peace, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart in order to add drunkenness to thirst. Yah would not forgive him. But rather the displeasure of Yah and his jealousy shall burn against that man. And every curse that is written in this book shall settle on him, and Yah shall blot out his name from under the heavens. sounds a little serious. Yah shall separate him for evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in the book of the Torah. And the generation to come of your children who rise up after you, and the foreigner who comes from a far land, shall say when they see the plagues of that land and the sickness which Yah has sent into it, all this land is sulfur, salt, and burning. It is not sown, nor does it bear, nor does any grass grow there, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Seboim, which Yah overthrew in his displeasure and his wrath, and all nations shall say, why has Yah done so to this land? What does the heat of this great displeasure mean? You know what the blessing was for? Make all the nations go, why are they so blessed? It must be they have a true God. Do you know what the curses are for? Why are they so cursed? It must be because of God. Do you see that we get to be a witness one way or the other? You choose which side you're going to witness about. Do you know that it is all about love? Because the scripture says, whom the Father loves, he chastens. Your child, your pet, both know you love them when you discipline them, as well as when you pet them, hug them, feed them. But a child who is unrestrained will grow up unrestrained. And a people unrestrained will act unrestrained. Scripture says the priest did not teach them between the clean and the unclean. And as a whole, our church today has not taught between the clean and the unclean, because we said it was done away with. Yet, does that make any sense? Can we not see there's still sin in the world? There are still evil in the world. Does Scripture not tell us to be on guard? And does it not say in the end days it's going to get worse? If things got worse, is that not all the more important to practice cleanliness? Cleanliness is already important every day, but if you are in the midst of an infection, a pandemic, filthiness, how much more to practice cleanliness, good hygiene? So would it make sense that in the end days that it got evil for God to do away with the clean and the unclean, are all the more to emphasize? End of the book says, let him who's clean be more clean. Let him who's evil continue in your evil. That's common sense as well. The more you practice something, the better you get at it. The more you practice good, gooder you get. The more you practice bad, the worse you are. Good delivery. Let's see. It shall be said, because they have forsaken the covenant of Yah, Elohim of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them out of the land of Mitzrayim, and they went and served other mighty ones and bowed themselves to them, mighty ones they did not know that he had not given them. Therefore the displeasure of Yah burned against this land to bring on it every curse that is written in this book. Yah uprooted them from their land in displeasure and in wrath and in great rage and cast them into another land as it is today. The secret matters belong to Yah or Elohim, but what is revealed belongs to us and to our children forever, to all, excuse me, to do all the words of the Torah. Was Israel taken away? Did it almost cease to exist for years? Do we think Americans can turn her back on Yah, that we can get far away from our founding, that the country that said we were endowed by our Creator is not going to be unendowed? It shall be when all these words come upon you, the blessings and the curse which I've set before you, and you shall bring them back to your heart among all the nations where Yah your Elohim drives you, shall turn back to Yah your Elohim and obey his voice. According to all that I command you today, and with all your heart and with all your being, you and your children, then Yah your Elohim shall turn back your captivity and shall have compassion on you, and he shall turn back and gather you from all the peoples where Yah your Elohim has scattered you. If any of you are driven out of the furthest parts under the heavens, from there Yah your Elohim does gather you, and from there he does take you. And Yah your Elohim shall bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He shall do good to you and increase you more than your fathers, and Yah your Elohim shall circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your seed to love Yah your Elohim with all your heart and with all your being, so that you might live, and Yah your Elohim shall put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecuted you, and you shall turn back and obey the voice of Yah to do all his commands, which I command you today. Yah your Elohim shall make you have excess in all the works of your hands, and the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your livestock, and the fruit of your ground for good. Yah turns back to rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers, if you obey the voice of Yah your Elohim to guard his commands and his laws, which was written in the book of the Torah, if you turn back to Yah your Elohim with all your heart and with all your being. So we are not hopeless. We are not left alone. We are promised if we will continue until the end. If we endure, we shall be saved. That even though we be few, if we will obey, Yah will take our cause. He will fight our battle. Though the days ahead, I believe, will be dark for the country as a whole, I believe in the midst of it, we will be upheld, we will be spared, we will be strengthened, we will be gathered, and truly you'll see the wealth of the wicked stored up for the righteous. Isaiah 55. Seek Yah, verse 6, while he is to be found, call on him while he is near. Let the wrong forsake his way and the righteous man his thoughts. Let him return to Yah who has compassion on him and to our Elohim, for he pardons much. It's my prayer for our family, for the church as a whole, for those who are here, that while we still have time, they will return to him. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snows from the heavens and does not return there, but waters the earth and make it bring forth in bud, and give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It does not return to me empty, but shall do what I please and shall certainly accomplish what I send it for. What did he say in his Torah his word was for? For life or for death. For blessing or for cursing. For what purpose? The example for the nations. Why did Jesus say for our works to be done? They may glorify our Father as in heaven. Why did he say, be that light set on the hill? They may draw men. Why are we to lift him up? He'll draw men unto himself. Do you see, it's the same purpose. To glorify our Father which is in heaven. To see thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Will his word accomplish what he said it to? And then again, I have two choices. Get with it or get ran over by it. Get out of the way. Is it not easier when I know what his word is trying to do, what his word requires of me, when I truly let it be a light into my path, a lamp into my feet? What good is the lamp if I say the path has been done away with, don't walk on it? What good is the light if it shows the path and I say, if you take that path, you're denying the light? Does that even make any sense? If the light shows me the path and I choose to not walk on the path, what's probably going to happen? Get lost, get hurt, stumble, fall. What do we see as a whole, especially the last decade or two, that has happened to church leader after church leader after church leader? Fall. Why? Because they're evil men? No, probably not, but it's hard to walk on a path that's not a path. It's hard to see when you're not looking at the light. It's even worse. Have you ever gone from somewhere that was brightly lit into the outside? Can you see better or worse? Worse. We're not made to walk in darkness. We're not made to walk not on the path. He said he made the path for us and it was easy, not hard, even into a mouth. Yeshua told us, come and take my yoke upon me. It is burdensome, heavy, encumbering, light. Now, did he say that before he died or after he died? If he said it before he died, it couldn't be the yoke of doing away with the law if the law was still in effect until he died. did he lie and say, take my yoke after a little while? It'll be lighter then. Man, I can't have it both ways. If his yoke was light before he died, what was his yoke literally before he died? What was he sent here to do? He sat here to obey the Torah perfectly, which we could not. So he could be a sacrifice for me. So if he was sent here to obey the Torah perfectly, he hadn't died yet, and I yoke up with him, what is a yoke? Connects to, and when they're connected, what happens? They both go the same. They can't go opposite ways. And when you yoke in, what's the purpose of yoking the two? Let them pull together. Shared load, not as hard. Now, if you yoke up with Jesus, that's a pretty good ox. That makes it pretty light. And if he came to obey Torah and I yoke up with him, what is my life going to look like? Obeying Torah and it not being so difficult. Almost like it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives through me. Almost like old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Almost like I can do anything, all things, through Messiah who strengthens me. Wow, do those verses not all of a sudden have meaning, have life, have truth, not just a verse to quote, but a way to live, to walk, to remember that when the enemy comes and says, you can't, go, no, but look who I'm yoked with. When I'm weak, he is strong. When I stumble, I'm yoked in. When you see me, you see him. Is that not so much better than now I've got my fire insurance, I'm headed to heaven, now what do I do till I get there? Verse 12, with joy you go out, with peace you are brought in. The mountains and the hills break forth into singing before you. All the trees of the field clap their hands. Instead of the thorn, the cypress comes up. Instead of the nettle, the myrtle comes up. And it shall be to Yah for a name, for an everlasting sign, which is not cut off. Now, if the thorn doesn't come up, but the cypress does, that means what? Why did the thorns come? They were a curse. So if they don't come and the myrtle comes instead, it is a blessing. If it is a blessing, I am obeying. Does that make sense? Is that scriptural? So when I am no longer cursed, but I am blessed because I no longer walk in disobedience, I walk in obedience. It shall be to Yah for a name, for an everlasting sign which is not cut off. And what name is that? Yeshua Messiah. And is he not the living Torah? Did he not come so that I might live? I might have life and life abundantly. What was life? Blessing. What was blessing? Obedience. If I have life and life abundantly, I will have abundant obedience. Thus says Yah, guard right rulings and do righteousness. How do we do righteousness? Guard right rulings. What does that mean? And not just obey, but I want to obey it. I try to go out of my way to obey it. I'm making sure I'm obeying it. What do you guard? Something precious. Something that is of value to you. For near is my deliverance to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who becomes strong in it, guarding the Sabbath lest he profane it, guarding his hand from doing any evil. Let not the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to Yah speak, saying, Yah has certainly separated me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, Look, I am a dry tree. For thus says Yah to the eunuchs who guard my Sabbath and have chosen what pleases me and are holding on to my covenant, to them I will give in my house, to them I shall give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I give them an everlasting name that is not cut off. Also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to Yah to serve him and to love the name of Yah, to be his servant, all who guard the Sabbath and not profane it and are not holding on to my covenant, them I shall bring to my set apart mountain. And let them rejoice in my house of prayer. Their sending offerings, their slaughterings are accepted on my slaughter place. For my house is called a house of prayer for all the peoples. Guess what? That includes me. Whether I'm native born or not, whether I'm of Jewish heritage or not. If I'm a foreigner who comes in, who guards, who loves, who trusts in his covenant, I'm grafted in, counted in, just like it says in Torah, just like Paul said, grafted in the commonwealth of Israel, counted. That means it's for the Gentiles. Almost like there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. Seem to remember to have read that somewhere. That's in New Testament. You know it says the same in Old Testament. It's not a new concept. Now, in the Old Testament, what was the no difference between Jew and Gentile? Yeah, they could join themselves to Israel. Now, in the Old Testament, if there was no difference between Jew and Gentile because they all became Israelites, guess what in the New Testament? How is there no difference between Jew and Gentile? Because we're all grafted into Israel. We all become Israelites. What then did Yeshua's death do for us that wasn't available in the old? How did you get grafted in the old? Yes, but yeah, you had to go to the priest and be circumcised, who is now our high priest. Yeshua, scripture says he is, and who circumcises our heart? Yeshua. The only thing that really changed is who's the high priest. The Master Yah, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, will declare, I will gather still others to him besides those who are gathered to him. All you beasts of the field come to devour, all you beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind, all of them they have not known. All of them are dumb dogs, unable to bark, dreaming, lying down, loving to slumber. And the dogs have a strong appetite, they never have enough, they're shepherds, they have not known understanding. All of them look to their own way, every one for his own gain, from his own, and saying, come, let me bring wine and fill ourselves with strong drink. Tomorrow shall be as today, even much greater. Is that not most of the prophecies today? It's greater and greater and gooder, and things are going to get better and better. And I can look back when I was a child, and I can look at today and say, are things better and better? Well, maybe a cell phone that didn't exist back then. Maybe a TV screen is five times as big. But society, people's health, the nuclear family, what I would call scriptural family, the church, society, crime, those things don't look better. They look more evil. Things were simpler back then. When I was born, it was either male, female. We don't even know about that now. When you can't look at a child and answer male or female, when you know, as Ms. Barb was saying, your child was born male or female, but they and you decide later on, well, where do we get that from? How is that even possible? That comes from the pit of hell. God made a mistake. God's not able, or there is no God. Do what you want to do. Be what you want to be. Do you know why people are yearning and looking and longing and trying to even change what they are? Yeah, they have no discipline. They have no boundaries. They have no God because they've been told, oh, well, it's just all relative. It's all... And we took the Old Testament out of the New Testament long before that. The righteous one has perished, no one takes it to heart. Committed men are taken away while no one understands that the righteous one is taken away from the presence of evil. He enters into peace. They who walk in integrity rest on their beds. But come here, you sons of the sorceress, you offsprings of the adulterer and the whore. Against who are you sporting? Against who are you making a wide mouth and sticking out the tongue? Are you not children of transgression, offspring of falsehood, being inflamed with mighty ones under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys under the clefts of the rocks? Among the smooth stones of the stream is your portion. They are your lot. Also to them you have poured a drink offering, you have offered a grain offering. Am I comforted in these? On a high and lofty mountain you have set up your bed. There too you went up to slaughter a slaughtering, and behind the doors and their posts you have set up your remembrance, for you have departed from me and have gone up to them. You have made your bed wide and made a covenant with them. You have loved their bed where you saw their hand. The church will go, oh, we haven't done that. But have we not? Do we not preach another gospel? Do we not preach another Jesus? Do we not preach another God? Do we not worship and give our children to the government for them to tell them? And we know when we send them that God didn't create everything. We're just from a bunch of monkeys. How much more do you have to know than that to not send your children there? Now we know that they teach there's neither male nor female. We know they're teaching abominations, and yet we still send our children there. Why? We worship another God. God of comfort, God of money, God of two incomes, God of I've got to, God of they need to be socialized. Well, I just can't. And call God a liar because he said you can. He said it was your responsibility to teach them when they get up, sit down, teach them when they play, and teach them when they're sleeping. It's hard to do that when you're never around them. We literally have been told to be good parents. I need to get them up, send them off to school. As soon as school is over, find a club for them to be in. As club is over, find a extracurricular activity for them to be in, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, ballet, gymnastics. When that gets home, send them to their room to get their homework done, and when that's over, perhaps say a prayer together, eat a bite together, and go to sleep. God of greed, God of envy, God of covetousness, God of the American dream. You can name it what you want, or perhaps multiple things. God of idiocy, God of that's the way it is. Not doing where you get the blessing. We even know it because we call it the rat race. Now, who wants to be a rat? And what do you get if you win the rat race? You are still a rat. And most times, what is the rat race? It's an experiment. And what do you get at the end? Perhaps, or you're the one then that gets takes injected, shocked. What's in the cheese is laced with something. Because they only want the best rats for their experiment. Do we not call it that? Then why participate? You know what Revelation says? Come out of her, my people. Don't be a rat. So you win the race. Woo! You're the big rat. We trade being a child of God for what the God of this world has already said. Come join the rat race. We say TGIF. Why do we say TGIF? Thank God it's Friday. Why? Because I don't have to go work for the man. Well, you know what on Monday? Don't go work for the man. If you have to go work for the man, then what are you? A slave. Why not be a slave to God? You're already a slave. Guess what? You can choose who you're a slave to. And when you're a slave to God, guess who has to take care of you? God. He owns you. When you're a slave to the man, guess who you look for to take care of you? The man. And so you have to do what the man says. Be at work when the man says to work. The man says you can't have off. You can't have off. Man says you can't have a raise. You don't get a raise. Man says jump. You jump. Now, we know this. We say this. We laugh about this. And you still willingly participate? God has not made a way where there seems to be no way. And we wonder why we are losing, why we have no effect on society. Why when they see no difference? Why when you're the slave just like they are? Why when you are just as miserable in your life as they are? Why would they think your God is any better than their God? And you know what? He ain't. You're serving the wrong God. Or does God not make a difference? If he don't, can I tell you, you're serving the wrong God? Can I tell you, do something until you figure out what's wrong? Because I can tell you, it's not his problem. He is not the one who's unable. You went to the sovereign with ointment, increased your perfumes. You sent your messengers far off and lowered yourself even Sheol. You have wearied yourself with your many wanderings, yet you did not say, I give up. You have found the life of your hand, therefore you were not grieved. Is that not us? Have we not played the game? Have we not said, oh, if I could just get in the right circles, if I can know the right people, if I can get someone's attention, no matter if I have to go to hell and back, yes, you found the life of your hand, therefore you have not grieved because you never said, I give up. What have you got at the end of it? What have you got at the end of your life? What have you accomplished? It was sad. The kids were watching a funny video and a horse runs in a little area. There's a man walking his dogs and filming the nature walk, and this horse comes by and the horse whinnies and neighs and splits the dogs and runs down and kicks a tree, turns back around and runs back at the dogs. And right when he gets to the dogs, he turns his rear end to the dogs and breaks wind and runs on off. And it was a cute little video. Here this horse goes bonkers, kicks a tree, and perfumes the dogs on the way back. The worst part is someone actually wrote in and commented and said that horse has done more in 25 seconds than I've done in the, or has accomplished more in 25 seconds than I have in the 35 years of my life. And they're sitting around laughing, and I'm just thinking how sad. There's somebody out there, 35 years old, who thinks a horse running, kicking a tree, and farting on a dog is more than I've done my whole life. How sad. 35 years old, and you think that horse has done more than me. I wish I could do that. To the man. What's stopping you? Do it. Yes, they have enslaved themselves to the man, to the system, to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, and they will not say, I give up. Man that fell off the cliff and he grabbed a hold of the branch and he hung there for hours and hours and his arms are about to give out and he's yelled for help and help and finally he said, Lord, please help me. Is there anybody up there? And he hears a voice that says, I'm here, my son. And he says, I need help, I need help. And he says, hangs there for a few seconds. He says, is there anybody else up there? We don't like the answer. Give up. You can't do it. Humble yourself. Repent of your wicked ways. Trust in Yeshua HaMashiach and obey. Well, there's no other way to be happy. No, that's not scripture. That's an old song we used to sing. And it was amazing because we sang it and didn't believe it at all because we were taught you didn't have to trust or obey. You just had to pray and believe. But somebody got it right. Even then, God was going, duh. Let me declare your righteousness and your works, for they do not profit you. Wow, what a concept. You mean the one who created me, I should do what he says and let him say what's important to me? Let him say the way he made me? When you cry out, let your collection of idols deliver you, but the wind shall bear them all away, a breath take them. But he who takes refuge in me shall inherit the land and possess my set-apart mountain. One shall say, heap it up, prepare the way, take the stumbling blocks out of my people, for thus declares the high and exalted one who dwells forever, whose name is set apart. I dwell in the high and set apart place with him who has a bruised and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the bruised ones, for I would not strive forever, nor am I wroth forever, but the spirit would For the spirit would grow faint before me, even the beings I have made, for the crookedness of his unfair gain. I was wroth, and I struck him. I hid myself in his wrath, and he went on backsliding in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways, but now I heal him, and I lead him, and restore comfort to him, and to his mourners, creating the fruit of the lips, peace. Peace to him who is far off, and to him who is near. Said, Yah, and I shall heal him. But the wrong are like the troubled sea, for it is unable to rest, and its waters cast up myrrh and dirt. There is no peace, said Elohim, for the wrong. Cry aloud, do not spare. Lift up your voice like the shofar. Declare to my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins, yet they seek me day by day and delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the right rulings of Elohim, they ask of me rulings of righteousness. They delight in drawing near to Elohim. They say, why have we fasted and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our beings and you took no note? Look, in the day of your fastings, you find pleasure and drive on all your laborers. Look, you fast for strife and contention and to strike with the fist of wrongness. You do not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his being? Is it to bow down the head, his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Do you call this a fast and an acceptable day to Yah? Is this not the fast I have chosen, to loosen the tight cords of wrongness, to undo the bands of the yoke, to exempt the oppressed, to break off every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, that you bring to your house the poor who are cast off when you see the naked, to cover him, not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then your light would break forth like the morning, your healing spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The esteem of Yah would be your rear guard. What are all those things he just mentioned? Are they not Torah? Are they not things we were already commanded to do? Is it not how we love our neighbor as ourselves? Did not 1 John tell us if you do not love your neighbor who you can see, how are you going to love God who you can't see? The reason why Messiah said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love begets love. When we love Yah, we love his creation and the things that are most important to him. When we don't love the things that are important to him, it's because we do not love him. That is why you can know a tree by its fruit, because an apple tree brings forth apples. A fig tree brings forth figs, and a thorn tree brings forth thorns. That's not judging, that's called sense, discernment. Saying what Yah has said. I refuse, I'm sorry, but if I know someone was born a man, I'm going to say they are a man. And if someone was born a woman, I'm going to say they are a woman. I'm not being offensive. If someone has a peanut allergy, and I bring a loaf of bread in here, and I put a spread upon it out of a jar that says Jif, made with peanuts, and I say, I have fixed you a mustard sandwich. This spread identifies as mustard. And you, if you are going to be tolerant, social, part of here, must eat the mustard sandwich, even though you have a peanut allergy, because it's not peanut, it's mustard. All you have to do is believe, confess, and eat the mustard sandwich I fixed for you. How many people would do that? How many people would go, you are, and then nice little symbols would come up. Do we know what the scripture says? I got a peanut allergy. I don't care if you call it mustard or not. I ain't eating it. It is not being tolerant. It is not being intolerant. It's not partaking of something that is going to kill me, harm you. You may identify it as mustard, but it ain't. And the fruit of it, if I ingest it, will prove that it ain't mustard. And the sad thing is, you know it ain't mustard, and I know it ain't mustard, so why lie? It's that simple. It's no different. And just because someone doesn't have a peanut allergy, so they could eat the mustard sandwich without suffering huge ill effects, I'm not going to ask them to lie either, because even though they don't have a peanut allergy, they know it ain't mustard. They know it's peanuts, and I do too. And if we continue to call it mustard, one day somebody with a peanut allergy may really believe it is mustard. And when they eat it, you know what's going to happen? Is that hard to understand? Is that intolerant? If I identify the wrong medicine, if I misidentify the sign that's out on the highway, all of those things tend to lead to an unsafe society. No different mislabeling people purposefully when we all know what we're doing. Yes. Make some dogs. And everybody who won't play fetch with your dogs are probably because they're just dog haters. They're haters. And they probably don't like Eleanor. That's probably why they're doing that. Haters. Father, forgive us where we have gotten to. Romans 10. And verse 1 starts off with exactly what we need to do. Romans 10, 1. Truly, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to Elohim for Israel is for deliverance. Do you know why we need deliverance? Because we got a lot of stuff that we need to get delivered from. For I bear them witness that they have an ardor for Elohim, but not according to knowledge. Is that not the church today, the bride today? Some, and unfortunately it's few and fewer, have an ardor, but do you know why they lose their ardor today? Scripture tells us, in the end days the love of many will wax cold because lawlessness. For not knowing the righteousness of Elohim and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of Elohim. Why is the church in the state it is today? Because knowing the righteousness of Elohim, they have it written right there, that is Torah, seeking to establish their own righteousness, I couldn't keep it, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of Elohim. For Messiah is the goal of the Torah unto righteousness to everyone who believes. Now, if Messiah is the goal of Torah, why would he come to do away with Torah if the goal of Torah was him? What's the goal? The finish line. If I do away with the finish line, guess what I won't get? If I do away with the goal, what am I shooting for? If I remove the goal, how am I going to score, win? So if Messiah is the goal of the Torah and I remove the Torah, guess what I can never find? What's the goal? Messiah. So if I remove Torah, what can I not find? Is that hard to understand? And guess what? Most of the church has not found. Well, whom else would they be? If I don't go and serve the true and living God, I'm serving some other God, and there ain't but one that's over all the others. Moshe writes about the righteousness which is in the Torah, the man who does these shall live by them. Now, does he say that's wrong? Does he say it's done away with? But the righteous of belief speaks in this way, do not say in your heart, who shall ascend into the heaven? Where is that? That's in the same Torah that the first verse was in. So if the first verse of Torah is done away with, guess what the second verse is? Done away with. If the second verse ain't done away with, then guess what the first verse? It ain't done away with. I can't go, well, this part's done away with, this part ain't done away with, this. How can you go in and redact, exact, take out? Where does it tell you what part is and isn't? Man's doctrine. Devil's doctrine. Demonic. The righteousness of belief speaks this way. Do not say in your heart, who shall ascend to the heavens? That is, bring Messiah down. Who shall descend into the abyss? That is, bring Messiah up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. What word? And it's near you in your mouth and heart so you can do it. That is the word of belief which we are proclaiming. What was the word of belief they were proclaiming? The obedience to Torah that now Messiah has brought near. Where do we get then that he did away with it? This is the word that's near in your mouth and in your heart, that the word of belief which you're proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth the Master Yeshua and believe in your heart that Elohim has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. Now what does that mean? Does that mean believe in your heart and say a prayer? But what is confession? When you confess to a court of law, no, you don't speak it. What do you confess to? If you're taken into the police station for a confession, what do they want to know? What you did, saw, witnessed, experienced. I cannot confess to something I didn't do. That would be a false confession. And if it's a false confession, what good is it? It's not. So let me guess what? Even if I believe, but I give a false confession, even though I believe it, it's still false. Does that make sense? Well, that should stop you right there in your tracks. Because what is the confession, the word that was in my mouth and in my heart? Torah. Is there a reason why we quote Romans 10, 9, and 10, but we don't quote all of Romans 10? Why we just take two verses out and then say this is what it means? But it really don't matter what I say it means, because if I give a false confession, it is still false. With the heart one believes in righteousness, and with the one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved, because the scripture says, what scripture, New Testament or Old Testament? Whoever puts his trust in him shall not be put to shame. Isaiah. So now if the Old Testament's done away with, guess what? Romans 10 is done away with. If Romans 10 is not done away with, how can the Old Testament that it quotes not be done away with? If a contract is no longer in place, how can I quote that contract in the new contract to say this contract's enforceable because of that contract that's done away with? Does that make any sense? If I sold the house to Wes and Ellie, how can I come now and say this is my house because I sold it to y'all? And if it wasn't mine, I couldn't have sold it. So now it's mine. That's dumb. You sold it. You did away with it. You said it's no longer. You see, the very fact that they quote the Old Testament over and over and over in the New Testament shows it could not have been done away with, or they could not quote it as proof of what they're saying now. If someone tells you it's been done away with, that is a false confession. And even if they believe it, it's still false. There's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same master of all is rich to all who call him. Everyone who calls upon the name of Yahuwah shall be saved. That Old Testament or New Testament? He again quotes Old Testament. Did we just read where they said there's no difference between Jew and Greek? The son of the foreigners and the native born? How then shall they call on him whom they have believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? Excuse me, how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without one proclaiming? And how shall they proclaim if they are not sent? It has been written, how pleasant are the feet of those who bring good news of peace, who brings the good news of the good. Old Testament or New Testament? Old Testament. So if they are bringing good news in the Old Testament, can I make that a different good news now? Or is that going to be the same good news? However, not all believed the good news. Is that what yours says? What does yours say? Not all accepted the good news. Not all obeyed the good news. Now, again, now is this the good news back then or the good news today? It's the same. Yes, it's the good news back then and today because it's the good news. For Yeshua says, Yah who has believed our report. So then belief comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Elohim. But I said, did they hear? Yes, indeed. Their voice went out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the earth. But I said, did Israel not know? First Moshe says, I shall provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I shall enrage you by an unwise nation. And Yeshayahu boldly says, I was found by those not seeking me. I was made manifest to those not asking for me. And to Israel, he says, all days long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and back-talking people. Now, we got through reading Isaiah. How did the sons of the foreigner come in? Kept Sabbath, kept his right rulings, believed, obeyed, held to the covenant. How do we come in today? Obedience, belief, confession. You see, it's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He changes not. Abraham believed, it was accounted to him to righteousness. Abraham obeyed, withheld not his only son, it was accounted to him for righteousness. James, show me your faith without works, I'll show you my faith by my works. Faith without works is dead. Old Testament, New Testament, it's all his testament. On the road to Emmaus, Yeshua opened the scripture. This was after his resurrection. And showed him where what? Everything was him. And as he read the scripture, Old Testament to them, when the end, they said, did not our hearts burn within us? Paul told Timothy, you have your scriptures which you've had from your youth, and they were to lead you to Messiah, to righteousness. Now, did he have different scriptures than we have? No. Same Old Testament. So that again, his scripture, his word is alive, is powerful, is sharper than any two-edged sword, is able to divide asunder, is able to keep me, is able to be the rock of which he is the chief cornerstone. So that while my flesh was weak and not able, because I was born unto sin, I have now been delivered into righteousness. What is righteousness? Obedience to the law. So how could I have been delivered into obedience to the law so that I could be disobedient to the law? If I was delivered into obedience to the law and the law was done away with, what was I delivered into? What was the purpose of the deliverance? And what do people struggle with today, wondering even if they're male or female? They have no purpose. Why are we going to thank God it's Friday? Because we just spent a whole week that, as far as we know, had very little to no purpose. Why are we trying to win the rat race? We hope when we get to the end, there will be a purpose. Perhaps the one who created us might be able to tell us what was the purpose. That's the good news, that you were created for a purpose, that he had a plan for you, and that it was for good, not for bad. That's for you to be the head, not the tail. that he made a way where there seemed to be no way, that you could choose life by choosing this day whom you shall serve. As for me and my house, we shall serve Yahuwah. Father, thank you. Thank you that you sent your word, that you sent your only son, and that he did not leave us comfort. You sent your Ruach HaKodesh to convict us, to strengthen us, empower us, that truly we may be changed from glory to glory. We may see thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We may shema, we may hear and obey. Amen. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kavod, Malchuto, Leolam Vayed. Shabbat Shalom.